Thank you so much. What a lovely song. I wonder if we always feel like we're under that holy overshadowing, or whether sometimes we feel rather vulnerable because of what's going on all around us. It's to me, it was inspiring to rediscover again how Peter could write so confidently as he did about this living hope. Peter was the one who, as has been pointed out already, he was the sort of bashful one, wasn't he? He was the one that acted before he thought. He was the one that just went for it. And sometimes, you know, those of us who might be a little bashful, might be a little brave, sometimes we find ourselves out on a limb and we find ourselves almost wishing, why did I do that? I think Peter thought that when he got out of the boat. Remember when Jesus was coming to them walking on the water, and they were convinced they were going to die because it was part of their tradition that if they began to see ghosts, they knew they were dying. In fact, they were already dying. And so in the predicament they were in with the storm and tossing and getting, trying to get the water out, they really didn't expect to live through it. I always find it quite interesting that it seems as though they never wanted to get in the boat in the first place. If you look up when you get home, and a bit of homework, look up the story, you'll find that it's almost as though Jesus compelled them to get into a boat. Maybe as fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, maybe they would have said, it doesn't look as though it's perhaps the right time. There could well be a storm. And I've had the wonderful blessing of being in Galilee many, many times. And on two occasions, I've seen such storms arise. One, fortunately, was when my wife was able to come with me. And we were right on the shores of Galilee. We'd only just arrived. It was our first port of call for our trip. And, it was beautiful. The sun was shining and there was rippling on the Sea of Galilee. And I said, oh, Sally, come and see this, come and see this. She said, yeah, okay. So she came down from this little cabin that we were staying in and she said, oh, this is wonderful, isn't it? I think it was her first time, actually. Isn't this beautiful? And we just sort of sat there and began to be quiet. What else do you do when you're in front of something like that? And then she said to me, come on, it's no good. We're here for a few days. Better unpack our bags. So we went back to the cabin and we started unpacking the bags. And suddenly I turned around and looked out the window. I said, quick, come on, come down and have a look. And these little ripples had turned into already 2-3 foot waves. And it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And apparently it's a geographical situation there, that the mountains around there are in such a position that if the wind comes, it gets caught and it sort of goes round and causes a bit of a whirlwind. But I imagine as fishermen, Peter and others would have been aware of that. Of course they would. And they would have thought, I don't know, the forecast is not that good. Perhaps they didn't have BBC weather forecast like we do. But they would have thought, probably not to go. But Jesus compelled them, it seems, to get into a boat. And they might well have been saying, as one comedian was heard to say many years ago, that's another fine mess you've got me into. And then Jesus comes walking on the water that is doing this. I'm not sure how I would have reacted. It's all very well reading these stories, isn't it? Sometimes it's good to put yourself in that situation. What would you do if you were in a bit of a predicament and you saw someone walking on water? As Di Woolridge said, with only his feet. Peter said, I think that's Jesus. And so he shouts out and says, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come and meet you on the water. I think if he'd given it a bit of thought, he probably wouldn't have said something like that. I'm not sure that was the most sensible thing to think about. I mean, caught up in the moment, perhaps, a bit euphoric, a little sort of scared and thinking he was dying one minute, and the next minute seeing this figure of Jesus coming. His brain was on tilt, obviously, because Jesus said, "Okay, Peter, come on." And his brain was still on tilt because he didn't hesitate. It seems he got out the boat and started to walk. But as he began to see the waves, obviously taking his eyes off Jesus and looking on the waves, he began to sink. Perhaps reality set in. I don't know about you, but sometimes don't you ever feel that? Don't you ever feel that, you know, I'm trusting the Lord and I'm singing my songs and I've just come from church and I'm all, but then somehow the phone rings and something happens, or there's something else on the news, or there's something else that I've got to do and I can't get anywhere and I can't. That's a real headache for me these days when everything is seeming to be online. But can you get hold of them online? No. And you do all the things that they ask you to do. Anybody else have that sort of situation? You do all the things. You fill in passwords. You do everything you can. And then right at the end, they say, problem on email. You'll have to do it all again. And you think, oh, for goodness sake. Why can't I just pick up the phone and say, hello? Please, can you help me? And on occasions I've thought, well, I'll look up a number and I'll do that. Your call is very important to us. You've heard it. And in 20 minutes, you're still very important. And it's those sort of things that seemingly bring me down to reality. And whereas before I was doing all that, maybe I was just, I'd had a nice time with the Lord and I was singing a song or whatever and it was all lovely. Now I'm getting a bit frustrated and now I'm getting a bit cross. Might be even getting angry, I don't know. But somehow it seems reality hits home. But in Peter's reality, Jesus reached out and called a hold of him, picked him up, and they walked back to the boat together. The older I get, the more years that I've been following the Lord, the more precious he becomes. The more overwhelmed I am at his great, amazing grace and mercy, that when I doubt, he still reaches out, holds me, pulls me up, and enables us to walk together. I'm sure you've all heard the story of the footprints in the sand, we were talking how wonderful it was that there were two footprints. Jesus is always with me. But then along the way, there's only one set of footprints. And what happened there, Lord? Did you leave me? No, I was just carrying you. It's this same Peter that had that experience that says, do you know what? We've been born again to a living hope. From some of my Christian experience, I was involved with some people. I think they might have, in hindsight, called themselves the faith movement or something like that. But somewhere along the line, we got so confident, so bolstered, so emphatic, looking back, so arrogant, that somewhere we missed this glorious hope that you and I can have. Because the Bible tells us that faith comes through hope. Faith is the evidence of things not seen and the concrete evidence of things that are hoped for. And I love talking about the hope that we can have in Jesus. There's another song that we sing sometimes. It says, we have a hope that is steadfast and certain, gone through the curtain and touching the throne. We have one there who is interceding on our behalf. And when it feels as though reality hits home, his arms are all around us. It was this same Peter that found himself in prison. He found himself in prison because Herod at the time had found that it was quite an acceptable thing to catch these disciples and to put them in prison and to punish them. And the public seemed to like it, and it was favorable, and maybe his governors liked it and whatever. But to the extent that on dear James, he'd executed James. And now he thought, well, we'll get another one. We'll have Peter. So they caught Peter and they put him in prison. But it says the church stayed up and prayed for him. And whilst he was in prison, this amazing thing took place. This same Peter who saw Jesus coming on the water and had taken a few steps himself was now tapped on the shoulder by an angel. And as it seems to me, you might read it differently, but it seems to me that as he was tapped on the shoulder, so the chains that he was held by fell off. And he was said, come on, Peter, get up. And it seems to me, again, as I read it, that the angel had to become a little bit emphatic, because it seems that Peter was in a bit of a daze. Who wouldn't be? I'm in prison. I'm chained. I'm probably going to be executed. I don't know. It's not looking good. But an angel appears, and I'm dreaming. I'm dreaming. I must be dreaming. And it seems that the angel almost shakes him and says, Peter, get up. Finally, Peter gets up. I think, if I'm honest, I think he's probably still not sure whether he's dreaming it or whether it's for real. But he's walking through, and the gates are opening in front of him, and finally the outer gate opens, and he's outside. And it seems as though the angel disappears, and that's it. He's now free. And so he thinks, well, where should I go? I'll go to where my friends will be. I'll go where the disciples will be. And so he knew where they would be, and he knocks on the door. And it's lovely, isn't it? He gives a good old rattle on the door, and out comes a little girl. Well, she doesn't actually come out. Perhaps there was a window in the door, I don't know. But she comes screaming back into the house and said, I think it's Peter. Well, that's what they'd been praying for. Does this ring any bells with you like it does with me? You know, the greatest surprise we read. Sometimes it's the greatest surprise when my prayers are answered. Sometimes it's the greatest surprise when I actually sense, as we sang earlier, the presence of the Lord. Eventually they open the door and let him in. Isn't it lovely that the Bible is full of these sort of stories? Not perfect people, not wonderful saints. Even the ones that we think are wonderful saints, you read the story and you'll find they weren't always like that. It seems as though this wonderful gospel that's contained in this Bible is for people like you and me. People that don't always get it right. I'm afraid I was very rude the other day. I was in a church, in fact, in our own church. And one of the people were praying, and they were praying this great long list of all the thing that God expects of us. How we should be this, and should be that, and should be something else. And suddenly I think the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and I said, you know what? There's only one thing God expects of you and me, and that's that we'll fail. And because he knew we would, he provided the gospel. The good news of grace and forgiveness. The good news of mercy. The good news that says, it's okay. There's a lovely song that one of our congregation has made up. He does a lot of school assemblies. And it starts off, Jesus really loves me. But one of the lines says, and when I get it wrong, he says, that's okay. That's why he died. Take the punishment for all the things that we would ever do wrong. The times that we would mess up. And so Peter's able to say, do you know what? We have been born again to a living hope. And I love the way that he calls it a living hope. See, it's not, I've had some letters and some pieces of paper that have given me all sorts of hope, haven't you? Yeah, maybe you were mentioned in a will. There was an occasion, actually, when I was coming out, first of all, into full-time ministry. It was a beautiful occasion because it seemed to coincide, God's calling on me, seemed to coincide with the fact of an uncle who'd left me a little bit of money. And in those days, that little bit of money would see me through at least the first 6 months of the ministry, of the study and everything else. And so I was, oh, praise the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. And then somebody contests the will. After I've handed in my notice. After I'm committed to the ministry. And I got that money, but I think I did. It was about 2 years before I got the money. We can have hope in all sorts of things that are written down for us. Maybe you had hope that Granny was going to lend you some money, but maybe she didn't in the end, because maybe she didn't have it. Sally, my wife, has an auntie who is now 94, and she's just beginning to lose her marbles. She's always been as bright as anything. Never been married and always had everything just right. And it's rude of me to say she's losing her marble. She's not, because there are days when she's absolutely fine. But somebody drove into Sally's car and wrote it off. And Auntie Carol said, oh, that's all right, go buy another one. I'll buy it for you. Auntie Carol, when you bought cars, they were a little different than what they are today. No, I can do it for you. And Sally said, Auntie Carol, you haven't got any money. It's all gone. You've spent it all on carers. And now you're in a home and they're wanting over £1,000 a week. No, you haven't got any. Oh, yes, I have. Because in her mind, she did. But this is not just a hope on paper. This is not just a hope that's a dream. This is not just a hope that is something that we expect might happen. Peter says this is a living hope. What did he mean by that? I think he meant this. Jesus himself is our hope. Jesus himself. And I just want to say, from the point of view of the Bible Society that is always promoting the Bible and the Word of God and always doing everything to help people understand it in all sorts of wonderful ways, and I thank God for them as I represent them. But you know, just the Bible alone is insufficient. I need to know the one that it talks about. I need to know Jesus. Don't you love that old hymn that says, oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he has done. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Yes. It's very sad, isn't it? Sometimes we get so used to church. We get so used to the religious side that we forget it's not really about that. It's actually knowing Jesus. Our living hope. So I pray that wherever you are, maybe you saw yourself in the story about Peter in prison. Maybe you feel that you're trapped by certain things, and maybe you feel that, oh, it's all a bit too much, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I'm not sure I can do this anymore. I don't know where you are. Maybe you thought it was a bit like Peter when you thought you'd put your trust in God, you thought you'd got it right, you thought you were going to do great things, you thought it was all going to go wonderful, and then it all went pear-shaped. But I've come to remind you again this morning that Jesus is and wants to be our living hope. And even when, as some of us are this morning, getting on a bit. I am. We're getting on a bit. What we used to do, we don't do anymore. We're not quite sure what the future holds and how our departure is going to take place. Jesus is still our living hope. I pray this morning that you will have in some way felt his presence, as the song was saying, to be in his presence. And that like Peter, you'll be able to look back, whether on your experience or on the experience of others who can testify, that in the most strangest of situations, in the most bleakest of times, in the times when we've really blown it and messed it up, Jesus is still our living hope. Can I pray with you? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you know exactly every single one here. You know exactly how we feel. And you know exactly what we're going through. Oh, how we pray that it's good times and happy times, because, Lord, that's what you want for us. But, Lord, sometimes it's not quite so happy. And sometimes there are challenges, just like it was saying in this reading this morning, that trials of our faith that seem to test us as to what we really do believe. Lord, this morning I pray that each one of us, will be reminded again that we have a living hope. It doesn't pass away. In fact, Peter says it's through the resurrection that we have this living hope, the fact that you're alive and you're alive forevermore, no longer dead, no longer in a tomb, but alive and there for us as a living hope in whatever situation we find ourselves. And Lord, I pray too that those of us who might today, and I pray it's most of us who are having a wonderful time and everything is feeling good and everything is great, I pray that in those times we'll remember to encourage others that Jesus wants to be their living hope, right where they are. For those that we prayed for earlier, and for those that we know, be their living hope today, Lord, I pray. Be their source of inspiration. Be their energy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just before I finish, can I just say that, or ask you to continue, if amongst your prayers you find that you have a spare moment. Oh my goodness, we're praying for so many, aren't we? And we're holding up so many and we're involved in so many. But if a spare moment comes and you could think, Lord, bless the Bible Society, that would be a blessing. There are challenges. Since COVID, there's been incredible challenges. But the work continues. and is supported by people like Di Woolridge and Andrew Ollerton. I don't know whether you've come across the Bible course and now a study on Romans done by the Reverend Andrew Ollerton. Well worth considering. I've got a Bible course back there. The Romans one is just out now, and we're doing it actually in our church, where he actually goes to Rome and is doing a Bible study from Rome. The Bible a Month, I don't know whether you subscribe to that at all, but Bible a Month is, last month was helping people in China, and wonderful things happening in China when the churches are so vast, the struggle is to actually get pastors. Anybody who will lead, anybody who will help, because they're so vast. And these pastors, bless their hearts, that take it on, not like us, Dave, they don't have Bibles. They're still trying to pastor people with just a page, just a little booklet, until they get the full Bible. So if you feel to pray, please do. If you feel to give, please do. If you feel to remember it in your will because you haven't got the money right now, but you might have when you die, we're prepared for a little bit of hope like that. But whatever, if you find it in your heart to pray for us, can I commend to you the Bible Society, amongst with so many other ministries and charities that are working, but can I commend that to you for your prayers and your support? God bless you, and thank you for having me this morning. I pray that you've been blessed like I have. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, so much. We're going to sing again, There Is a Hope, and the world tends to measure us by where we've come from. Spiritually, we're measured by where we're going to.